بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected audience, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را كتاب أنزلناه إليك كتاب أنزلناه إليك كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج من الظلمات إلى النور كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من ظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Allah Azza wa Jal, dear respected brothers and sisters, in this verse of Surah Ibrahim, defines how do we know if we're benefiting from the Quran or not. And the purpose for this book of Allah Azza wa Jal. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. الظُّلُمَاتِ and النُّور, from darkness to light. We're not talking about a light switch. If that's the case, we're in deep trouble in the past two nights. We have darkness. But this is not the darkness that we're talking about. Here is a metaphor talking about ignorance and knowledge, about not knowing and about knowing. مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. When you sit and read, when you open the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, do you want to measure how much impact the book of Allah Azza wa Jal had on you? Ask yourself this question. What changed in me when I read? For every time you read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, a new obstacle is removed and you start seeing things differently. And that is why when we recite every single day the five prayers, and each prayer we have the Quran that we recite in it, in every time we recite, a renewal of knowledge takes place. Which I will be talking about tonight, because this renewal and this continuity of the renewal of knowledge happens in connection with whom? With the presence of the 12th Holy Imam, Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. The Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, tells us, القرآن إن هذا القرآن هو النور المبين والحبل المتين والعروة الوثقى والدرجة العليا والشفاء الأشفى والفضيلة الكبرى والسعادة العظمى. No doubt the Quran is a clear light and a strong rope and a firm hold and a highest possible in status and the most effective healer, and it is the greatest favor and the biggest salvation. This is the Quran. Listen now carefully. مَنْ اسْتَضَاءَ بِهِ نَوَّرَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ اعْتَقَدَ بِهِ فِي أُمُورِهِ عَصَمَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِهِ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يُفَارِقْ أَحْكَامَهُ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ اسْتَشْفَى بِهِ شَفَاهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ آثَرَهُ عَلَى مَا سِوَاهُ هَدَاهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْهُدَى فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ شِعَارَهُ وَدِثَارَهُ أَسْعَدَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ إِمَامَهُ الَّذِي يَقْتَدِي بِهِ وَمَعْوَلَهُ الَّذِي يَنْتَهِي إِلَيْهِ أَدَّاهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ وَالْعَيْشِ السَّلِيمِ. Whoever seeks light from it, Almighty God enlightens him. Whoever links his affairs to it, Almighty God protects him. Whoever remains attached to it, the Almighty Allah pardons him. And whomever not desert its commandments, Allah Almighty glorifies him. And whoever prays for cure from the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty will heal him. And if someone gives preference to the Quran, Allah guides him. And whoever tries to find guidance from other than the Holy Quran, God lets him go astray. And whoever gives it the status of his guide, leader, authority, shelter, refuge, whose help he always seeks, God will grant him heaven and a peaceful life. This is the Quran. This is the guide. The problem is, how do we relate to it? Why? Yesterday, With as much as I tried, I talked about the relationship. What is a relationship? The relationship is when we not have void and want to fulfill it, is when we go after what? When we seek perfection and we try to do what? To acquire this perfection. Allah Azza wa Jal says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من طلب الهدى في غيره أضله الله. If one seeks guidance is through other than the Holy Quran, Allah will what? Push him astray. You might ask, why would Allah push someone astray? Don't misunderstand this. It is not that if you go seek something else, Allah Azza wa Jal will then make you sin. No, what Allah is saying, in any other than the Holy Quran, it will be misguidance. It will be astray. It's not that Allah will push you away. It is built in. The making of the Quran means nothing but guidance. Which means anything outside of it means nothing but misguidance. So, listen very carefully. If you were to find any guidance, but you're not reading the Holy Quran, but in reality, you find it to be guidance, then understand that the reality of what you found, it stems from the Holy Quran. Is that clear? Sometimes I say, Wallah, I listen to someone, and this someone, what he said, what she said, was so guiding to me. It was amazing. I opened my mind and heart. If your mind and heart was truly opened, then know, whatever this person told you, it stems from a reality and truth from the Holy Quran. This is the meaning that you shall find no guidance from other than the Holy Quran. Because any guidance in this universe, the roots of it shall be founded in the words of Allah, in the book of Allah, in the Holy Quran. Now, why is it then we go and take the long journey to the truth? Why don't we just come and benefit from it? Why is it we avoid the most effective method to benefiting from the Holy Quran, and the most effective method through which we can benefit from the Holy Quran is when we recite it, we understand it through the light of the household of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I want to mention a hadith that is narrated by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salamullahi ta'ala alayhi. See, I want to share something with you. Today, as we were invited, our dear brother had given us a book. And one of the things that I like to do, anytime you read from a book, you benefit from the book, what happens is you're giving a thawab, a reward, not only for yourself, not only for the author, but for the person who delivered the book to you. And part of making this reward go on forever and ever, that now when I share the hadith, not that I don't know the hadith or that I haven't read the hadith, but I love the family and I love the person, so what I'm going to do, by reciting the hadith from the book which he gifted, I am sharing each and every one of you, when you receive the hadith and you receive the reward, he becomes a partner with each and every one of you in the reward of the hadith that I read from the book that he gifted. Subhanallah. Al-Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, وَالْبَيْتُ الَّذِي يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُذْكَرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِيهِ. And the house in which the Holy Quran is recited in it, and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned in it, تَكْثُرُ بَرَكَتُهُ وَتَحْضُرُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, its blessings increase and the angels are present in it, وَتَهْجُرُهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and all the devils leave it and exit it, وَيُضِيءُ لِأَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ كَمَا يُضِيءُ الْكَوْكَبُ الدُّرِّي لِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, and it lightens that house to the people of, to the those who reside in heavens, like how the star lightens up for the people of earth. وَالْبَيْتُ الَّذِي لَا يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, and the house that the Qur'an is not recited in it, وَلَا يُذْكَرُ فِيهِ اللَّهِ, and the name of Allah is not mentioned, تَقُلُّ بَرَكَتُهُ, the blessing of it decreases, and the angels leave it, وَتَحْضَرُهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the devils are present in that house. So you choose. By the way, sometimes we try very hard with our children. We work very hard with our children. We try to raise them. We try to take care of them. We send them to the best schools. We provide them the best education, the best, all of this. But then we find them going astray. We find them that, subhanAllah, they do not do well. They get in trouble. Why? Education we provided them. Discipline we showed them. What happened? We did not realize that sometimes we are in houses that have the evil present in it. Why? Because we did not recite the Quran in it. We invited the devils to be our partners, our people, those who reside with us in those houses. And when we have the shayateen present in the houses, don't you think that will influence our children, ourselves, is through more waswas, is through more temptation, is through more haram? It is all connected to one another. So your house, the exact same way, you try to beautify your house, you try to put security on your house, you try to bring education to your house, you try, you need to protect your house. This is important. Let me ask you, I'm not sure if in Emirat is required or not. Are you required to pay insurance on your houses or not? No? Lucky you. Well, would you not pay electricity bill or not? You have to. Right or wrong? I mean, come on, I know it's beautiful and great and wonderful, but you still have to pay the electricity bill. Would you stop paying that bill? Why? Because you need it. Let me tell you. That bill, that electricity bill, what does it provide you? When you pay the X amount of dirhams, what do you do? You're bringing light to your house. Can you live in darkness? Imagine you live in a house with no electricity. You don't have air conditioning. What's that? Impossible? I don't know, I thought I heard someone. You live with no power, with no air conditioning, with no light. You can't do anything. The spiritual electricity you get is through the payment you pay through how? Reciting the Holy Quran. You recite the Holy Quran, it lightens your spirit in the house. It brings that spiritual enlightenment in the house. You doubt me? Recite every single day for an hour, for 30 minutes. Come on, don't be cheap with God. For 30 minutes, every single day, for about 40 days. And see what happens. Don't miss one day. Really, is it hard? Test me for 40 days. Test me. And if I'm wrong, don't ever attend any lecture of mine. Oh, I only have 2 lectures here left, so it doesn't matter. My point is though, really, put it, do it. Don't just, we recite and listen to so many different things about the beauty and the power of the Holy Quran, but we do not use it. That's the problem. It amazes me. And then we have problems, and when we have problems, we say, SubhanAllah, why is Allah punishing me? Allah is not punishing me. Allah is giving me what I earned, and He gave me all these options. You have, you work at a company. Your boss comes up to you and tells you, listen, you can be my vice chairman. You can be the vice director. You can be the director. You can be a manager. You can be a vice manager. You can be a supervisor. You can be a worker, or you can be a janitor. I have all these options. You do A, you get this. You do B, you get this. You do C, you get this. And it's very easy. It is not hard. He's not trying to tell you, go get a PhD. No, this boss is so nice, so kind, so wonderful. Anything you want, he tells you. You want this, here's what you do, A, B, and C. And I'm going to pay for it. And I'm going to, all I need you to do is put the effort. Wake up in the morning, come here, put the effort, the discipline, the will, and do it. But what you end up doing, you end up being the all the way cleaning the house, cleaning the doorsteps, cleaning the driveway, and choosing. Nothing's wrong with being a janitor. It's a beautiful job for those who want it. But when you miss being the vice chairman or the chairman, when he gave you these opportunities, that's fine. You choose to be this job, great for you. But don't ever sit back and say, why am I not a chairman? Simply because you chose not to be. Allah told you, gave you all these things in your daily lives. You read, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. If you read it 76 times or 79 times throughout the day, here's what you get. If you say in the morning when you wake up, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِي الْعَظِيمِ, here's what you get. If you recite 10 times a day, إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, أَوْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, here's what you get. There are so many things. When you read this book, مفاتيح الجنان, it has so many different things. All you have to do is pick and choose, pick and choose, pick and choose, and do it. But we have the book, we say, MashaAllah, what a great book. But we never do anything about it. It is so beautiful, we recite it tonight, Dua Mujir. And it is very recommended to recite in these three nights. And it is said, whoever recites these nights, Dua Mujir, it helps him from protecting from poverty, from Allah forgiving all his sins, from all sorts of things. It's amazing. I wonder why in the world, and mashaAllah, it was a beautiful recitation tonight. May Allah bless the parents of those who recite, the young man who recited it. By the way, the parents and their grandparents, everyone is getting reward. So see how much you're doing now to your parents? And all this comes together as we try, dear brothers and sisters, in what we are trying to change, to do what? To get, as we talked about the three forms of guidance in the past three nights, in two nights, the innate guidance, the legislative guidance, and then the authoritative or the commanding guidance, which that guidance comes from the Imam, Sahib al-Asr wa-Zaman, at our time. Very briefly, see, I was told to also, in case the electricity goes off today, لا سمح الله, although I'm going to try to make up for lost time in the past two nights, but also I'm going to try to listen to what the committee has asked me, so somehow I'm going to balance. In the commanding guidance, how does the Imam عليه السلام bring this guidance to you and I? Obviously, when I first benefit from the innate guidance that Allah has given me, God has gave me everything. Pay attention to this because this is very important. I want to benefit from what the doctor has said in the past 2 weeks. He gave two lectures about taking care of your body. See, taking care of my body is what? The innate guidance will allow my body to grow, right or wrong. It's built in it. But what happens as a human being? I make a choice to take care of that innate guidance or to disrupt it. When I don't eat well, what am I doing? Am I disrupting the legislative guidance? I am not only disrupting the legislative guidance, but the innate guidance. Because When someone, for example, doesn't believe in Allah, what is he or she doing? He or she is going against the innate. And what do we say? Look at him, subhanAllah, he is so misguided. He's doing himself what? Harm. Why? There's something built in us. And because it's built in us, so we can benefit. But we chose not to benefit from it. So is that smart or not? It's not. What if when Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the best way to grow and mature and to live, but we choose to disrupt this growth in eating junk food, eating things that are not good for us, not doing healthy things, living an environment that causes illness and harm. What are we disrupting? The core, the innate guidance that Allah built in us, right or wrong? You have doubt? You're skeptical here. It's either because now you say, man, he ruined everything for us. But the reality is, see, when does the Imam alayhi salam come to you? If you respect what God has given you innately, then it means you will respect what the Imam will flow further on you. But if you're not respecting what was given to you innately, why in the world would you expect the Imam to give you anything extra? Why? It is because of greed. Give me, they say, if man was given two mountains of gold, he will say what? Where's the third one? He will not try to think, okay, what do I do with these two mountains? Allah has given us, sometimes we ask, why is it we do not receive this extra blessing that we see the Imam alayhi salam? Let me ask you, can we meet with the Imam sahib al-asr wa zaman or not? Yes or no? Yes, we can. Are you sure? We can meet with the Imam, but no one shall claim to be the ambassador of the Imam alayhi salam. Anyone that comes to you and says, anyone that, wallahi, I met with the Imam alayhi salam and here's what he says and we should do this and that. Right away, X that person. He is nothing but a liar. I don't care how long is his beard or how large is his turban. Why do I say this? Because nowadays, we have those who claim, my sister is married to the Imam, my nephew is serving the Imam, my this and... No, we have it. And we have it in the most religious places. We have it in every country. We have it in different places. So please, we are people that were given our intelligence. Let us not be fooled by different clothing or different act. Don't be taken because someone is standing for a long time saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, and he shows cries. And you need to examine people through their transactions, their truthfulness, their honesty, how their trust is over time, and then watch when they claim things. Let me tell you, it is very prevalent. I have seen it enough to make it an issue to talk about it on the minbar of the Imam alayhi salam. The minbar of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. When people start claiming things, oh, I am in alam al-malakut, and I am seeing things, I don't know how to explain it to others. He wants to tell you he's at a different level. Let me tell you, those who God gave them these levels will seal and never talk about it. If I have a beautiful jewelry that is worth so much, what would I do first and foremost? Protect it. Do you think I'll go and say, hey, people, listen to me. Listen, I have this $1 trillion jewelry. I am extremely... Something is loose up here. Why? Because then I'll be target number one for theft and robbery. Right or wrong?
If I am this level that I have a loose something up here in my mind, I will not be worth this kind of jewelry in the first place. Right or wrong? Those who start talking about these things, you know why they do this? Because they have such thing, loose thing up there. Why? Because they don't realize if you were given such thing, you'll protect it with your life and heart. Yes, you might share it, but with whom? After you examine someone. See, those mystics and those urafa, a lot of people I hear, they want to go study Irfan, for example. Oh my God, this is like, oh, I want to go study mysticism. It sounds good, you know, but what is it really? The reality, these individuals who are authoritative and credible and are knowledgeable, they will not just go and accept, they will look for their students. They will go and pick and choose those who are eligible for it. I want to emphasize this because this has filled the Shia forums, Shia chat rooms, Shia blogs, and everyone became an expert now. And everyone is an expert in these areas. Dear brothers and dear sisters, the sciences of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are for the scholars. And those learned ones, and those who want to learn in the right way. Those who just want to claim, let me tell you, they might be successful for a little period of time, but at the end of it, they will fail. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal has someone protecting that science and that knowledge. Who is that? The Imam alayhi salam himself. Let me tell you, anyone that thinks he wants or she wants to misguide people or they want to play with people's minds, they need to realize one thing. They are waging war against Imam al-Asr wa-Zaman ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. They are standing as an enemy against the Imam alayhi salam. When you talk about the sciences of Ahlul Bayt, know where your limit is. I'm very serious about this. Know who you take your knowledge from. And know how to disperse this knowledge. This is the other role that our scholars said the Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhi plays. There are two roles that he plays. The commanding authority or the authoritative guidance that he gives, and to protect the religion. These two roles. In today's world, unfortunately, we have some people who are gravitated and have the affinity towards new things. I hear some things that bother me, especially as a follower of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. For example, I hear some people, wallah, you should listen to the scholar. He is so great. Wonderful. Why is he so great? You know, he is very modern. He is so liberal. What does that mean? He is so liberal. He is so modern. You know, he's not traditionalist. A scholar is not from the old school. He's not from the classic school. Wow. What does that mean? And you know who talks about these topics? Supposedly the intellectuals and the educated. Those who went and gained their degrees, went to universities, got to learn a few words here and there, and then looked at our scholars and looked at what we have of heritage, culture, religion, tradition, etc., and said, this is all backward. This is all traditional. I want someone who is more modern. Someone who is more advanced. Someone who is more liberal. Someone who will look at things in a different way and say they're halal. What is this everything haram, haram? No. Loosen up a little bit. Open up. Let's see the halal. Let's know how to deal with the people. And more and more. My time is up. I'll continue this tomorrow. But I want to tackle this issue. Why? This, by the way, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we had shirk, we had kufr, we had nifaq. Right? People were faced with these kind of trouble. Nowadays, as I told you previously, the battle is where? Up here, the battle of the mind. And it is these ideas that try to seep into our communities, into our young men and women's minds, and corrupt them. Why are they corrupt? How can we challenge them? And what is the relationship of these ideas with Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam? This is where you're going to find out how vibrant and how lively and how active the Holy Imam alayhi salam in our lives, even though that we do not see it right away. But when we sit back and start adding things up, and seeing how Shia Islam was safeguarded until today, up to this moment, and until his appearance, we realize that the Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi abdul salatu wa salam is always actively amongst us, protecting us. And not protecting our bodies, and not protecting our existence in that form, but protecting the most important thing that we have. And what is that? Our intellect. There's a hadith. They say when the Imam alayhi salam appears, he would move his hand above the people's head and their minds would be perfected. What does this mean? What does this mean exactly? Inshallah, more of it tomorrow. As we now, I have very few lectures. Sunday, two more lectures. I know Altaf, you don't have to remind me. Altaf is like this, don't worry, I'm not going to ask for more. Remember, you guys took two, by the way, but that's fine. They say when you deal with, let's not get to that. Anyways, in these two lectures, they will tie all the loose ends. I'm going to try to put a lot of things together. I ask for your undivided attention. And I ask you to think ahead of time. Tonight, just go home and think. What role does the Imam alayhi salam play in my own life? And what role can I ask of myself to play in the life of the Imam alayhi salam? Two ways. What the Imam plays his role in my life, and what role do I play in his life? And we'll discuss this further on tomorrow and after tomorrow. And the last of our prayers, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala khatam al-anbiya'i wal mursaleen, habib qulubina, shafi'i dhunubina, abil qasimi muhammad, wa ala ali baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.
توجه زيارتي.